going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Welcome on in. WWL Draft Fest coverage continuing. Steve Geller, Jeff Nowak, Charlie Long, and of course, Cullen Steele keeping us all in line here on this glorious April 27th. Gorgeous Sunday out there. Hope you are gearing up for also Jazz Fest, which I cannot wait for next weekend, while I'll be taking part in. This weekend, though, gentlemen, it was all about the NFL draft. The Saints, I think to pretty much everyone's surprise, held on to all 9 selections.
We're talking about Draft Fest.
Right, exactly. Not Jazz Fest, the Draft Fest.
Was that better or worse than yesterday?
Draft Fest. Yeah, I was thinking about that overnight, and I was like, I can pull this off. I can get this done. It didn't work yesterday.
Improved.
I didn't get the inflection right. We're talking about Draft Fest. Anyway, I'm sorry. What was your question, Steve?
9 picks in the draft, and they kept them all.
9 picks. Yeah, I think it kind of signals, you know, I don't think it signals a complete shift in philosophy in terms of how you address the players, how you assess, okay, who do we want to bring in? What are our goals? What are our, you know, ideals for these players and what you're looking for? But I do think it's pretty telling of, we have holes on our roster and we got to fill them. Now, what Mickey said and what you heard in the Sports Flash is they had trades that they were looking at. It just didn't develop. There just wasn't anything there.
Worth it for them, right.
And, you know, I think it's a smart move. When you're in the situation the Saints are, when you are coming off of a fourth consecutive missed playoff season, you won 5 games last year. You are not a player or two away. You need to restock the deck. And, you know, we'll go through the UDFAs that have been reported. We haven't gotten official word yet.
Even busier after the draft, too.
Yeah, you know, it's weird. Well, it's not a big class. And part of the reason is you drafted 7 players last year. You draft 9 players this year. There's only so much space for a UDFA, you know. And because you draft a player, you know, you take Fadil Diggs. And we should go through the list of the picks at some point pretty soon here. But you draft Fadil Diggs at 254. I mean, he was probably your top priority in free agency or in undrafted free agency, right? So it's like that's kind of where you are. But no, I don't know. The thing is, when you make this many day 3 picks, you know, I'm not Mike Dettelier. I'm not going to tell you
Fadil Diggs
at Syracuse. I'm like, I know exactly who he is. It takes me a little while. So
in week 3 against so-and-so, you know.
Try not to have a visceral reaction right away. And because it's easy to sit there and be like, oh, I like this guy. I watch this guy. But they took that guy. Why? You know, and you kind of have to go into it with an open mind and understanding, like, they've been scouting these guys for a while.
Yeah.
They kind of probably know what they're talking about. So, you know, I'm interested to kind of get a closer look at a guy like Fadil Diggs, who started at Texas A&M, went to Syracuse. Malik Yamatavau, who I talked to at the Senior Bowl. You know, there's a lot to like, I think, about this class.
What I think, too, for me, guys, is like you have a whole new regime coming in. You want as many of your guys as possible, too.
Right.
So that made sense to 100%. Me.
Correct. And Jeff, you spoke with Yamatavau. I wanted to get your thoughts on him, you know, at the Senior Bowl. Mike kind of talked about him, that he's a big receiver more than like a blocking tight end. But in the 7th round, it's worth kind of a dart throw. It feels like you have a couple of those, though, with like Dallin Holker. So that's going to be some interesting camp battles to watch.
Yeah,
what you guys starting with the 7th rounders first. We're going backwards.
Yeah, well, before we get into that, we're going to get into all of the picks. I don't want, you know, and so let's go through the list of picks first.
Sure.
Just to kind of get. So, Steve, do you want to kind of go through it?
Yeah, let's go for it.
All right. Okay, so you want me to do it? I can do it off the top of my head. Okay, number 9
overall.
Kelvin Banks, offensive tackle, out of Texas. Right. You know, I think a lot of people were looking for a more flashy name. Didn't get it either way.
But should be expected if you're a Saints fan. You know this team drafts trenches early on.
Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me 17 times, shame on me, right? Number 40, quarterback Tyler Shuck out of Louisville. A lot of people want to say this was a reach. I disagree with that. I think this is the range he was always going to go in. He was my mock draft pick. I had the Saints trading up to 32 to take him. They stood pat. They got him. That's the range he was going to go in. Right? Don't get fooled by your mock draft simulator. Like, the teams had higher grades on this guy than PFF maybe did. Anyway, going forward, number 71, Vernon Broughton, defensive tackle out of Texas. A guy that, again, people say is a reach. Saints had really good intel on him. Bo Davis was his coach in college, so you brought him in. Next pick, second pick of the third round, you had Jonas. Valentino. Not Jonas.
Oh, no, sorry.
Jonas Sanker, not Sankey, Sanker, safety out of Virginia, big time tackler, super athlete, came up playing 8-man football. We need to talk to Scott Shanley about his time in 8-man football at some point. He calls it arena football without the arena. Kind of just a fascinating story, but you know, an interesting piece. So that's the end of the day two picks. Fast forward to day three. It's funny because we got a text on the Oakenheart Jewelers Talking text line going into the draft where they were like, I like all these Texas picks. I would take them way sooner than anyone from Oklahoma. And it's almost like the Saints were listening and said, bet, because first pick in the fourth round, number 112 overall, Danny Stutzman. You know, he might sound like a car insurance salesman, but he does make tackles, man. 100 tackles each of the last 3 years, led the Big 12 in tackles in his sophomore season. So, hey, I like that pick. I like volume tackles, and that's what you got with Jonas Sanker and Danny Stutzman. Fast forward, we're heading back to Kentucky, baby, the Fighting Jeff Duncans. The Saints at 131 overall take Quincy Riley, cornerback out of Louisville. Obviously a teammate of Tyler Shuck in college. You got two players out of Texas, two players out of Louisville. Whole heck ton of Senior Bowl guys. Then no picks in the fifth round. Fast forward all the way to 184. And this is where I thought, okay, maybe the Saints might try to package these trades,
right,
or package these picks, these late picks, and move up. Nope. They wait all the way to 184. And I would say steal running back Devin Neal out of Kansas at 184 overall, a guy who's had 16 touchdowns each of the last two seasons, is the career rushing leader at Kansas, super productive. We talked to him after the draft. He was elated to finally get out of Lawrence, Kansas. He grew up there. He stayed home, and he was like, get me out of here. So he's headed to New Orleans. I'm really intrigued by that pick. Then two picks in the seventh round. You waited a long time, 184 to 248, and you end up with, again, a guy I talked to at the Senior Bowl, 6'6", 250, major need. We talked at pick 200, and I was like, Maliki Matavau at a tight end at a UCLA. That's my pick, and that's who they took at 248, one of my better draft calls. Anyway, so we'll talk more about him. And then six picks later, three picks before the end of the draft, 254, you take the edge rusher Fadil Diggs out of Syracuse, started his career at Texas A&M, transferred. And you had nine picks, nine different positions, nine different needs. Check, 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 check. Put them on the board. Move on. That's your 2025 draft class. I haven't even turned my computer on.
Oh, class for Jeff. Wahoo. Just rattled that off. He's been doing a little studying.
Yeah, no, I mean, we were locked in.
I guess it helps
weekend,
when you're
guys
writing it all up, too. Yeah, you just right, kind of gets ingrained in there.
So, where do y'all want to start? You know, I threw out the Maliki Matavau because you were at the Senior Bowl, but they drafted multiple
we'll
Senior Bowl
a
guys,
little bit
too.
You got to talk to him as well. We'll play that.
Yeah, let's start it. You know, why don't we talk about Matavau, because that's the only pick that we haven't really taken a lot of time on.
Him and Diggs. I mean, it's at the very back end of the draft. And like,
everybody was ready to go.
Well, quite literally, like the final 10 picks, you made two selections.
Yeah, it was funny because we didn't even get Diggs on the radio. We'll get him soon, but it was like, guys, I think we're done. I think we're ready. But you did get Matavau, and he's a really intelligent guy. He was actually teammates at the Senior Bowl with Tyler Shuck, so there's some connection there. Like, they know each other. He had a lot of positive things to say. Everyone who's played with Tyler Shuck, everyone who knows Tyler Shuck, has a lot of positive things to say about him. But, you know, the reason I kind of honed in on him was, one, because when I talked to him at the Senior Bowl, he said, I asked him what he wanted to do the most that week. And he's like, I want to work on run blocking. I want to put my hand in the dirt and block some nasty edge players. And that's what the Saints needed. They didn't need another, you know, finesse, route running, move tight end. You got that. Juwan Johnson's that, right? Dallin Hulker can be that. You got that. I needed kind of a big-bodied, hard-nosed blocking tight end. And while it might not be what he did in college, because college you know, offenses don't necessarily prioritize the power run game physically and mentally, and he's willing to do that and capable of doing that. And in the seventh round, I'm not looking for a plug-and-play day one starter. I'm looking for a guy with traits, and he's got the traits.
Yeah, it's always, as we mentioned, kind of the priority undrafted free agents. It's the guys that you just want to make sure you lock down before it gets to that process. But, yeah, I mean, how did he look as a blocker at the Senior Bowl, Jeff, in Mobile?
You know, it's tough because we're looking at practice, and we're not seeing, you know, full contact. So it's tough to say, like, blocking is one of those things that it's like, it's all about effort.
Yeah.
And until you see it in action, it's tough. But, I mean, like, you see him out there, and he looks the part. Right now, where I have some concerns is he's a little stiff, right, getting downfield. He's got good straight line speed, but he doesn't get in and out of breaks that very well. Like, I don't think he's going to be. He reminds me of Davis Allen out of Clemson, in that similar vein. I don't expect him to be a very big impact in the passing game. Maybe over time he could develop. But no, I mean, it's like blocking is so much about want to, right? It's like being, how are you a good defender in basketball? It's not about skill set a lot of the time. It's about, are you willing to do it? Do you care? Are you willing to look bad? Especially at the tight end position, because you're going up against edge rushers that, it's like Cam Jordan loves nothing more than when they ISO a tight end on him and he can make him look stupid. Like, that's what he loves to do. That's what edge rushers love to do. So in order to be a capable blocking tight end, you got to be willing to go out there and get made look stupid, but survive. Right, you don't have to win every block. You have to give the quarterback time. And I think, you know, the willingness to do that, and like, I didn't lead him into that answer at all. I was expecting to be like, oh, I'm looking forward to showing what I could do as a pass catcher, whatever. And he was just like, I want to block people. And I just appreciated that. And I'm sure, like, if when he had conversation with the Saints, you got to a lot of that too.
I'm going to say, I'm sure that's something that head coach Kellen Moore saw as well and knows pretty well, coming from an Eagle squad that was so dominant up front.
Right. I mean, that's what you're talking about. You're going to play a lot of 12 personnel. You need the pieces to do it. And this draft, more than anything else, it was, okay, we're adding, like you said, we're adding pieces. Like, we want this, we want this, we want this. We got a lot of wants. Let's go find them. And that's one of them.
Looking at things, was there anybody that you guys wanted in this draft that kind of fell to the side and we weren't able to get to? I was upset, you know, not upset, but it was definitely disappointing, the fact that, oh, Cam Scadaboo ends up going to the New York Giants.
No, that's a good one. And like Dylan Sampson as well. Those were the running backs that we talked about, like, leading into day three, that they needed to address the running back position. And they eventually did with Devin Neal.
Right.
Which, by the way,
I'm not hating that pick either, right?
Production. Like, when you talk about potential versus production, Devin Neal had all of the production in the world at Kansas. He was fantastic there for multiple years, and you get him in the sixth round. And I think that's kind of a testament to this running back class, that someone like Devin Neal that put up those types of numbers in college was just sitting there in round six. Like, the run on running backs still happened on day three. A bunch of them went, but you were still able to get a good value pick at pick 184.
Well, that was like when we talked to Joel Thomas prior to the draft. One of the things he said was like, this draft class, like 2017 is like the premier draft class. And when you're talking about what's the best running back class you can remember, it was 2017 when like a guy like Chris Carson was going in the seventh round, right? A guy who had not a long career, but a really productive career for the Seahawks. Like, that's a seventh round pick in that draft. And he said like this class rivaled that class. You're getting a guy like Devin Neal in the sixth round. Like, you might not, okay, Quinshon Judkins goes off the board early, Trevion Henderson goes off the board early, obviously Aston Jeanty, but like, these guys you're seeing in the fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh round, these are good running backs.
And I think the NFL knew that, and that's why, you know, outside of Amarian Hampton and Aston Jeanty that went on day one, there was just four running backs that went on the day two. And then you get to day three, and you have all these guys fly off the board starting in the fourth round, and the Saints were still able to get a good one in round six.
Now, that's something that when you listen to all the draft analysts coming into, you know, the event, I just remember NFL Network's Daniel Jeremiah on one of his phone calls saying this is definitely one of those years that he'd much rather have a stockpile of those second and third rounders because of the all-around depth in this draft that there was at certain positions.
Yeah. And
especially the D-line and, the, like you said, running backs.
Yeah, defensive interior specifically, but also a really good edge rusher class. And some edge rushers that kind of fell into day two, to your point, that, like, for instance, and I know this is more of a character thing, but like Mike Green going, 59 to the Ravens?
Yeah, that kind of makes me sick.
And like, you're just thinking, of course, like the Ravens, after having Malachi Starks fall to them at pick 27 in the first round, where he's going to be a stud pro. In the second round, they just get a first-round prospect fall to him close to pick 60.
How do good teams stay good?
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough because it's like, you know, it's really when you say, okay, who didn't they take that I wanted them to take? You know, it's always like, who was on the board when you picked?
Yeah.
And really, outside of the second round, I kind of feel like, you know, there's it's all about, okay, how do you feel about this player? Like, Vernon Broughton was probably a little bit of a reach, but it's a need, right? And you're not going to find a stud defensive tackle in day three of the draft. You're just not. Like, you'll find some guys with some traits you like, but you're not finding a plug-and-play starter. So if they feel like they have a guy who can contribute right away, that makes sense. But no, when Tyler Shrek went off the board, even though he was my mock draft pick in my most recent mock, like, I was on him the entire time. Like, I never stopped saying his name. I said Tyler Shrek to you too many times. Objectively too many times. But even then it was like, oh man, Will Johnson's on the board, Mason Taylor's on the board, Trey right. Amos is on the board. Like, oh, there's a lot of names at that number 40 pick. So I understand why people got kind of annoyed. But if you think he's the guy, and I think they do think he's the guy, I think
right.
Kellen Moore thinks he's the guy.
They didn't want to risk losing him to another team.
You go get him, and that's what they did. So, you know, I you can quibble with the value on a lot of these picks, but I'm okay with it.